We're up to page Reish Chof. Reish Chof is Simon Shin Samach Gimel, Seif Zayin. We are continuing the laws of Lechi. Now, some of the. Page Reish Chof. Reish Chof in the Dir Shubish Nagurus. Okay, page Reishchav Simon Shin Samach Gimel Siv Zayin. We are continuing the laws of Lechi. Now, some of the laws of Lechi at this moment in time may seem, okay, fine, that's the halacha. Okay, very nice. Let's go further. There's a lot of background because we're going to contrast soon the laws of Lechi to the laws of Korah. Lechi and Korah almost mirror images. Not mirror images, but they're extremely different. So almost everything that it says about Lechi, it's fast, and then we come to the Korah, it's going to be just the opposite or completely different. So just kedai to bear. A lot of pleasure in learning comes from comparing one thing to another, seeing the differences. And when you see the differences, that brings out the yesod of what the item is. So we have to get there to Korah. But we first, in order to get to Korah, we have to first go through the basic yesodos of Lechi. So here we have the Zayin Lechi, Afilu Shvarim, Veshivei Shvarim, Kesherim Bat. A lechi can be something that is very weak, very insignificant, and this can be in contrast to a korah, which has to be very strong. But a lechi can be made up of little bits and pieces of material. A person takes, let's look over here in the Mishnah Berurah, Se'if Katan Chav Dalet, Afilu Shavar, made from broken pieces of wood that have been glued together, or have been attached together in some form. Wrote Salam Midubakim attached, Vavat Shiyichalama Biruch Matsuya, provided that these things can stand in a Ruch Matsuya. That was very weak. Something that's made from Shavarim. If you take a bunch of toothpicks, wooden toothpicks, and you glue it together to make some type of thing that's 10 Tfachim tall, obviously it's not going to be too strong. Because no matter how, unless you're using some supernatural glue, but how strong can the possibly be already? It doesn't matter. It can, when we say Shavarim, the point is it can be extremely weak, provided it can maintain, it can stand within a Ruach Mitzvah, it's not going to fall down. So right away the Mishnah here is coming, what's the Chiddush? The Chiddush is in contrast to what we're going to learn very soon, a Korah. A Korah must be very strong. Korah, the Be'inon, Davka, Shatia, Chazok, Deish, L'Kabul, Ariach, L'Amon, Mitzvah, Yudzayin. A Korah must be very strong. It should be strong enough to hold the weight of a brick. A brick obviously is not something that's very light, and so that's the point we want to make over here in this siman next. So it's kosher. It's going to be, if it's, let's see, the next mishnah berurah hafei kasher mo v'hu adin avon ma'yotz min ha'kosel u'mivdalim zeh mizeh pachos mishlosh tvachim havi lechi mamish v'hu shehei bein kulam gavoy asar tvachim. Let's see, something that's very jagged. Let's say you have a whole collection of bricks like this. Right, you have a pile of bricks. A pile of bricks that are standing next to the wall. Here's the wall, and you have a pile of bricks, and the pile of bricks reach the height of 10 tefachim, but it's very ugly. Right? You pass a construction site and you see bricks that are like this, you know that they're not finished. And they have yet to do something, and they left the holes there so they can attach. Is that called a kosher lech? The answer is yes. As long as the gap between the open space is less than 3 tefachim, it's okay. It doesn't have to be aesthetically pleasing in order for it to be a lechi. When it comes to a korah, not so simple. A korah, we're going to have different rules. There you can't play games. We'll see more. Okay, let's go further. Back to the mechaber. Zayin, lechi, afil l'shom, v'shir l'shom, k'sherim, bo, period. Hagah, the Ramah says, l'chein oisem lechi, nisid tochim, because of bigger chiddush. You can take cement. You have a mavli. The mavli has three walls. Fourth wall is completely absent. And you're putting up a lechi. So instead of putting up a real lechi, you'll just take cement and you'll smear some cement against the edge of the wall to a height of 10 tefachim. Is that valid? Yes. Fascinating. Well, lechein oisim lechi misid from lime. Tachui ba'koisel that is smeared against the wall. I guess for our purpose, sid over here would mean cement. That is smeared against the wall. Levachi yizor shalo yismacheh yoyser mishloish shalo aretz. Make sure it does not wear out. On the very bottom, just make sure, give it, inspect it over time. Make sure it's extremely thin. The lime is extremely thin. Make sure that the lime on the bottom three tefachim is still present, because sometimes, right, the Mishnah Berurah says, the animals the dogs and cats, when they walk in through the entranceway, they rub against the side wall, and over time they wear out that thin little sliver of cement or lime or plaster, and it no longer no longer will you have the shear of three of ten tefachim. Okay, this is look at the Mishnah Berurah of Zayin on the bottom. Hainu al yedei klum through dogs, vachazim, dogs and pigs. Okay, in ancient times they had pigs roaming around in the streets. Times have changed, obviously. Shragilim lehischachech baksam, which rub against the walls. So moichakim boy minaksam, they rub out the lime against the wall. Esmichu hasid asamuch laaretz faoz lemahani shuv loylech v'lutzus pesach. Then if you don't have anything there, then obviously it's not a kosher lechem. Okay, now we go to Ches. It's interesting halach. This brings out, okay, it may seem to us something which is not making halach lemaisa, but it brings out many yisoidas. Ches lechi sha'asoho me'atzei asher kosher. Okay, I turn the page, page 440. A lech that's made from atzei wood that is has been worshipped as avodah zara is kosher. What does that mean? So this brings out a yisod. Again, this is going to be in contrast to a koira, which you cannot use from wood that has been worshipped as an idol. Let's see the Mishnah Berurah. You can take wood that has been worshipped as an idol and use it for your lechi. There's no restriction whatsoever. The ein lahakshois, don't ask me a question. What's the issue of using atzei asherah? Are you allowed to use, let's say, a lulav that has been worshipped as an idol? No. Why not? What's the reason why not? Because you're mechuyev to burn it, to destroy it. A lulav requires a shear. It has to be three tefachim. Anything that requires a minimum shiur size, you cannot use an object that has been worshipped as an idol, because the object ultimately, not today, you can do tomorrow, the next day, has to be destroyed. And when it's destroyed, it turns into dust. When it turns into dust, you no longer have the shear. A lechi, what are you going to tell me? A lechi has no shear. We just learned you can even take the smallest, thinnest mashus can serve as a lechi, provided that it's strong enough, it's not going to fall down in a ruach mitzuyah. So if you take a little thin sliver of plaster, and you rub it against the wall up to a high of 10 tefachim, we just concluded in the previous page that it's kosher. You don't need to have a tefach. You don't need one. When do you need it? You have to, if you have a chatzer, going back to learn yesterday, chatzer, you have to have a lechi for tefachim. If you have a chatzer and you want to go use two lechis, each one must be at least equal to a tefach, according to the Mechaber. The Mishnah Berurah says one. Even the Mishnah Berurah, we had a whole discussion yesterday, what happens if you did not build the lechi l'shem lechi? It was just there as a relic of the past. It just happened to be a remnant of what from a previous collapse. So then it was an opinion that you do require a shear. But everyone agrees, less man the polling, that if you construct the lechi l'shem mitzvahs lechi, it's sufficient, even the smallest amashu. Ah, so since it does not require a shear, you can use something that has been worshipped, because even though this thing will ultimately be destroyed and turned into dust, so what? Dust is also a mashu. But the Mishnah Berurah asks, Ve'ela haksh, don't ask me. Third line of the Mishnah Berurah, Dinihi debelechi keva de'in tzach shir lo yishach v'zeh, ka'asuzi mechtash shir, kifchamei, mikol mokoyim, ha'osu behana. Okay, you don't have the issue of a shear, but it's forbidden for pleasure. Yesh loymar. A lechi is not something that you derive pleasure. It's out of a physical reality. Is there something here? It's a mechitza. Then the kevin the lechi in tzach mechitza uvo guf aloi mishdamish, but you're not using it. Lechoshev hano mashenena al yoda heter tiltul. Unbelievable. That's not called pleasure. That's not called pleasure. Again, yeah, this we have to. I want to just point out something that we're going to see later on in much more detail. What is a lechi and what is a koira? A lechi works mishum mechitza. A koira, when you put a bima on top of two walls, mishum heker. It's nachalikas in the Gemara. Nachalikas in the Gemara, what is the function of a lechi? What is the function of a koira? Is it mishum mechitza or is it mishum hekera? Recognition. Really, you don't need three walls, it's sufficient. Menat Torah. That's really what we're following when it comes to a mother. Three walls is sufficient. Or whatever, it's not a Rosh Hashanah, at least. It's sufficient. And you don't... And as long as you have something to remind you not to carry into the Rosh Hashanah, that is sufficient. Just like if you want to eat on the same table with your friend, meat and milk. I will eat meat, you will eat... I'll eat meat, you'll eat milk, and we're on the same table. You're not allowed to do that. Why are you not allowed to do that? Because I might forget myself. I might take something from you, you might take something from me. Very, very good manners. We'll take from each other. So what is the solution? You put on the table something which does not belong there. You put your cell phone on the table. You don't normally put your iPhone on the table because you're afraid you'll spill. So you put something which doesn't usually belong there. That can serve as a hecker. You're allowed. Same thing. You have a place that has only three walls. You're not allowed to carry in a Rosh Hashanah that only has three walls. You create a hecker. It's not a wall. What's the hecker? According to one opinion, a lechi or a koira. That's one approach. You put up a lechi or a koira. It's a reminder. Don't go further than this area into the Rosh Hashanah. Is that what the purpose of a lechi or a koira? Yeah, that's one opinion. Other opinion says, no, it's much better than that. It's not a hecker. It's an actual halachic partition. A little sliver, a little piece of wood is a virtual wall. It's a wall. That's what it is. It counts as a fourth wall. Oh, but it's so small. Doesn't matter. Chazal said a little teeny sliver can count as a wall. A koira counts as a wall. Two different opinions. Halacha l'maisa. How do we paskin? We paskin. We make a pshar. Not a pshar, but this is how it. A lechi is mishum mechitza. A koira is mishum hekeir. In the Gemara, it's all or nothing. They're either both mishum mechitza or they're both mishum hekeira. Halacha l'maisa is clear as day, and that's the entire set of this siman. Alechi mishum mechitza, koira mishum hekeira. So long comes the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah says the nafgamina, being that it's only mishum mechitza, it's a wall, and this wall does not require a minimum shear. So a wall is a reality. I don't have to, it's not like I'm deriving benefits. Benefit is when I see it. I see it. It serves as notice. Don't do something. The only reason why I'm allowed to eat meat and milk on the same table is because I have something sitting on the table. I have something as a reminder. It's a benefit. It's not a benefit. It's a reality. There is a wall here. The wall is considered a wall, and the wall does not require a shear. So according to the Mishnah Berurah, the Mechaber, the Mishnah Berurah, that is sufficient. Although this item is for Aser Behana, it's not considered deriving benefit. It's just the way it is. There is here a fourth wall, and this fourth wall does not require a minimum shear. So although any time we deal with our dessert, we have the principle of kisuse michta shiure, it's as if it's destroyed, well, that's where you require a shear. You don't require a shear for a lechi, and you're not deriving benefit. It's mutter. And he brings down here on the side...
Isn't the fact that you're carrying a benefit?
So that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. That's not called Hano. Look exactly where the Mishnah Berurah comes to ask your question. Yeshua Mekevim looks the first white line. It is a chiddush. It's a difficult concept. I agree with you. It's hard to grasp. But that's what he says. The first white line, Yeshua Leimar, Kevim Tiha Lechi Eina Elo Tzarech Mechitza, Uvo Guf Eloi Mishtamesh Bidi. You're not touching the Mechitza. Loi Choshev Hano. It's not considered pleasure. Ma shenene al yada, the pleasure you derive because of this mechitza, heter tiltel. Okay, you're right. It is a chiddush. It's a tremendous. That's what he says. I can't say more than the words. Now, if you look over here on the side, 28. Okay, the dirshu, our dirshu friends have added over here a little supplement on the next page. Tam noisif kasu ha'el yiraba sif kan yud v'aprim gadim. It's a mitzvah. Okay, it's a mitzvah. That's another term. It's a mitzvah to put a lechi, and therefore it's not called
so
a pleasure.
You're going to share a thing.
Yeah.
And you build something, a mitzvah. You usually build part of a shul. That's a mitzvah. I'm building the
shul. That's another issue, because that's hakrevena lefechasecha. A synagogue, a shul, is a place where you do service to Hashem. There's a prohibition to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu carbon, something which is disgusting. So Avodah Zarah, the rules of a shul can be different than the rules of mechitzah. Here we're dealing with something purely mundane. You want to carry, you want to go about your daily business. It's not davening. It's not prayer. It's not in the place of a carbon. Shul is different. every set of rules has its guidelines. Every halachic area has its guidelines. In this section, we're dealing with carrying inside a mavli. You're dealing with mundane activities. It's not this lechi does not require a minimum size. So that takes away the problem of kisuse michtashira. Is it called pleasure? I'm not actually touching it. I'm walking within. So it just happens to be a mechitza. So along comes the Mishnah Berurah and the Mechamim, they said it's okay. It is a chiddush, but it's something which...
So anything that's a mitzvah, like if I took the wood of a...
Well, the main principle is shear. Anything that requires a minimum size, before you get into any religious area, Avodah Zarah is out. Because yeah. Avodah Zarah has to be destroyed, pulverized, burnt, turned into dust. And once something has been turns into dust, you no longer have the minimum size. So the lulav, do you require for lulav a minimum size? Yes. Do you require for tefillin a minimum size? I believe so. I think there is a minimum size for tefillin. So let's say you have the hide comes from the zara. Anything which requires there's a minimum size for a mitzvah, you cannot use over the zara. Okay, let's go further. Now we go to test. Seif. Okay, what do he says for the kasha? No, let's read another Mishnah Berurah. Let's read Mishnah Berurah. Lamed kasha. It is kosher to use atzei asherah, meaning for lamed sift chad lamed in the Mishnah Berurah. Tamishum dekem the lechi ain't tzach shir. The bekol shu sagi chlobas sif gimel. The reason why a lechi does not require a shir, may atzei asherah mahani. Avagav the atzei asherah I made l'shreifa. Even though the atzei asherah is destined to be burnt, and chaman the sarif dami it's if it's been burnt umichtas kosos shiure. That's the main principle of avodah zarah. Whenever you say the word avodah zarah, you right away have to bring to your mind this principle that has to be destroyed. Mikol makom lo haloi boy shir. Like we said, a lechi does not have a minimum size. The af al gav deha mikol makom boy kol kolpadim shiur begove asar tzvachim. Oh, it does require a size. It has to stand 10 tzvachim tall. The thickness is a mashu, but it has to stand 10 tzvachim high. If I pulverize it, if I burn it, turn it into ash, it's going to be on the floor. It's going to be dust on the floor. It's not going to be 10 tzvachim high. Kevon diyachol la'asoytsoy kav dak. Okay, we have the same word kav now in the Mishnah Berurah, kav kav. Since you can make it a line, a thin, little teeny line, like paint, plaster, lime against the wall, me'od, kolshu, loy hechmiru chachomim b'shir zuter kihai. Since the height can just be lime stuck on against paint, against the wall, so it's almost so insignificant, in this case we can be lenient. V'yot herzub is another answer, the Balachi, afilu hayin nisraf, ha'etz le'efer, I told you, even if you would turn into dust and you would smear the dust that would go along the wall, it's also good. Ten tzvachim, you add some glue paste into the dust and you smear it against the wall to a height of ten tzvachim, it's also sufficient. As long as it's stuck, it's glued, strong enough to the wall that when the wind comes, it's not going to blow away. So we have over here all these principles come together. The lechi, the shir, is a mashahu, and asherah is kisusei michtach shiure. Doesn't matter. You can put it up because there is really no shear. It can be a thin line. It can be paint. It can be plaster against the wall. As long as it's put there l'shem lechi, and it's not called having hana when you walk inside because you're not actually deriving benefit from the item itself. And the other reason is because it's not called hana that you walk. It's not called a hana. Because you're not actually touching it, you're walking within. Or the other answer given by the other achrayim is mitzvah slav lehonos nidnu. Okay, now we come to siftes. Siftes on the top. Bein shmiris belita salechi loimdim b'soicham lavui ve'eino nireis loimdim b'chutz. Bein shmiris loimdim b'chutz. It's going to be ve'eino neged chlal hamavui ve'eino nireis loimdim b'fnim kasha. Okay, now before we go further, let me just give you a little background. On the right side of the Mishnah Berurah, on the Mechaber, you see what's called the Be'er Hagola. Now the Be'er Hagola was not written by the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim only wrote on this page three things. He wrote the Mishnah Berurah, the Be'er Halacha, and the Shahar HaTzion. The Shahar HaTzion usually is just sources. In the Mishnah Berurah, he always quotes where he's getting, where he takes. Mishnah Berurah was Malakit. Reuben the Rubai, who was a Likud, he selected different things which he felt to be halach l'maisa, the minority opinions. But he felt this is the Iker, and that's what he presented as halach l'maisa. And every so often, there are hidden gems. In Shar HaTzion, sometimes, 90% of the time, he just tells you the source. But sometimes he adds a few words, which opens up vistas of understanding of how he interpreted that source, or what he means. So it's always kedai to study the Shar HaTzion. The Mishneh Berurah himself, Shter Rakav, he wrote the Shar HaTzion Rosh HaPrakim. Everything was just like acronyms, letters. And many today, you know, today a lot of Svarim have come along, and they have, first of all, they have written out, like they did in this Mishneh Berurah, all the acronyms into the full word. When it says Aleph Reish, they write out Elia Rabbah. And then they've also gone further to give you the exact source. And people have actually written Svarim. They've written Svarim to extract the deeper meaning of what the Mishneh Berurah Chafetz Chaim meant from the Shar. Like a few little acronyms, and a whole sefer what he really was referring to in the acronym. Now, on the right side is not from the Mishneh, this is from the Shulchan Aruch. If you look at the Hagam on the first page to tell you who wrote it, I think Rak, I forgot, here it is. Moshe Ravkash, Mivilna. The Be'er HaGoyla is basically the sources of where the Mechaber took his halacha from. The Mechaber compiled halacha. There are many opinions in. There are opinions with Rishonim, the Rambam. Many times the Mechaber takes from the Rambam. Sometimes he takes from Rashi. He takes from a Gemara. No one argues on. So the Be'er HaGoyla basically is the source, the footnotes, right? These are the real ancient footnotes of the Mechaber, written by Rav Moshe Ravkash from Vilna. Exact year when it was written, I do not know, but obviously it came after Rav Yosef Cairo. He supplemented the Mechaber with the source. So here he has pictures. Now the pictures here are on the bottom, not on the left side. The left side is the supplement that has been created in the year 2012 or 2011. Okay, but over here, the picture on the bottom, I guess these have been redone, obviously, which he himself, Be'er HaGoyla, or maybe not, I'm not exactly sure, maybe someone else. These are old pictures. These are the pictures that appear in the Mishneh Berurah or later on. And that's what he quotes here to get an idea. So let's read the simile again and look at the picture on the bottom. Bein shnireis belitas lechilem dim mesoich ha-mavoi ve'eina nireis pachutz. See, again, one more time, test. One more time, at the beginning of the sif test. Where the lech can be seen, belitas means the extension of lech to those that are standing in the mavoi, but cannot be seen by someone that is outside. Ve'eina nireis lemdim bachutz. Now, there's a letter tzadi, right next to where it says, ve'eina nireis. The tzadi goes to the right side where the letter tzadi, kozeh. And there is a number one within parentheses, which takes you down to the bottom, and you see what he is referring to. So if you are in the mavui, you are in the mavui, and you're looking out, you can see that there is a lechi. So that right away will serve as a mechitza. Okay, we learn lechi mishum mechitza, not to go out into the rishus harabim. Then, now, by the way, this is because the lepe rishrash, that's how Rashi learns. Now, let's go further in the mechaber. Or whether bein shenireis lo'imdim bachutz, it can be seen by those outside, neged chalal hamavui, but ve'ein aniris lo'imdim b'fnim, kosha. Now there are letters, kuf, kazeh, number two. So number two, if you are inside the mavi, can you see that little lechi in the picture on the bottom, number two on the bottom, can you see it? Absolutely not. As far as you're concerned, inside the mavi, you cannot see. There is no heker, but it's a mechitza. But if you're outside in the street, it can be seen l'perish Rashi, or kazeh l'perish atoisvis, reish. Okay, there is no, I don't know what he's referring to, kazel l'perish atoisvis, that's already the ain't a nearest. Kazel l'perish, I don't know, there's no number, something went wrong over here. I don't know what he's referring to. Maybe he's referring to, okay, I'm not sure, so let's leave that. Okay, so that's just the basic idea. The basic idea is we have over here are two different types of lechis. It can only be seen by one, cannot be seen by the other. So what is the halacha? The halacha is, now the ideal lechi, we ask, what then is the ideal lechi? The ideal lechi would be something whose dimensions, you turn back two pages earlier. You turn back to page 438 in the Dirshu Mishneh Berurah. On the left side, you see the ideal lechi. And the reason why that is ideal is because the height and width of the lechi is different than the wall itself. So this is noticeable to the people on the inside and noticeable to the people on the outside. It's clear that this was made l'shem lechi because it's a different material, it's a different color, it's a different height, it's a different thickness. Everything about this is different. But we don't have a really good picture over here in these pictures, but the case of number one, number two, certainly can only be seen on the outside, cannot be seen on the inside. But even number one, we're dealing in a situation where it's not noticeable that this was put up l'shem lechi, because let's say it's the same material, it's the same stone, it's the same height, and it's perfectly aligned. People think when they built the lechi, the contractor, he made a nice little extension going, closing it up a little bit further. It's not noticeable that this was put here l'shem lechi.
But that's Hecker. That's what you're saying, Hecker.
No, but we all the shumachitza. We all halacha
l'maaseh. I'm saying what you're saying. It's
not a heck, right? It's a problem. It's mishum mechitza, but it has to be noticed correct, right? It's a balance. The two come together, absolutely, right? That's what it's saying over here. It's not noticeable that it was put here l'shem lechi. Only has to be a mashu, but at least the mashu that is put up l'shem lechi, it must be noticeable that it's here l'shem lechi. Here we have something that's much more than a mashu. It's something very significant, but it's not noticeable that it's been put here when you're walking in the street, that this has been put here l'shem lechi. Okay, so the halach is it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, as long as it's been put here l'shem lechi, it is sufficient. Okay, let's see the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah just says the base of Yisoda, so let's go further. Let's now go to Yud. Further. If you distance the lechi from the wall 3, we really learned this yesterday, or you pick it off from the ground above the height of 3, pasul. The migbi pachos mishloisha af al pi she'en bo ela shivu mashu kosher, but if it's a height of less than 3, the lechi must be within 3 tefachim from the wall. We learned this yesterday. The problem is because of the yisod. Osi avir the haigisu, the haigisu, umavato. Let's just do the mishu very quickly. Mishu lamidal. Dikam yakoy sel shalosh. Af al gav dikvar shenob besivav. Chodesh shenob lashmi lashmi and jehu likuva. The Mishnah Berurah takes note that we learned this yesterday. Why in the world is the Mechaber repeating something that he told us yesterday? Okay, so sometimes the Mechaber, that is something very interesting. Sometimes the Mechaber repeats himself even in the same siman. Here, this is siman shin samach. One thing, when the Mechaber repeats himself, halachan yardea, halachan chayshe mishpat, halachan arachayim. Okay, we're learning different sections of Shulchan Aruch, or even within one section, two different siman. One hilchos yana, one hilchos. But here, it's a pella that he says exact same thing twice. He says the same thing over here in Simon Tess, and he says the same thing back over here in Simon Vav. So the Mishnah Berurah says, really, it's a Pella. There he repeats himself, Afal Gav, even though Afal Gav the Kvar, Shinob, Sivav, Chaz, Shinob, Lashmin, Shuli, Kuvar, it's repeating it twice that it's Ma'akev. And again, just to review the principle we learned yesterday, why are we required to make sure that it's within three Tvachim? Because of Osi, Avir, the Haigis, Taigis, Vav. That means we have our wall. And we have over here the lechi, and the lechi is more than 3 tefachim. So if there's a gap of 3 tefachim from the wall, then this 3 tefachim and this enormous space is mevatel the lechi. If it's less than 3 tefachim, it's insignificant, love it, so then there's no din bidul. Once you have more than 3 tefachim, then we discussed yesterday in Nafkamina, what would happen if you have a very wide lechi? That's 4 tefachim. So now no longer is there a bittul, because the airspace between the wall and your lechi is less than the actual lechi itself. So the Mishnah Berurah presented two opinions. One opinion said that it's valid. The only reason why your lechi may not be distanced more than 3 tefachim is because of bittul. But if the lechi itself is more than 3 tefachim, then there is no longer bittul, it is mutter. And then the Mishnah Berurah presented a second opinion that it doesn't make a difference. It's not because of bittul, it's because this is how Chazal wanted. This was how they envisioned the lechi. The lechi should be adjacent to the wall. If it's more than 3 tefachim, you are violating their vision of what a lechi should be. It's not because a bittul does not work. And here he says the same thing exactly. He says the same thing twice. I was thinking that it was referring to... Maybe there's another approach. You have to look another mafarshim on the Shulchan Aruch. Maybe there's another approach referring to a different situation, and that's why he says it twice. Then he discusses the halach that we did not yet learn, the height of that it must be within three tefachim. If the lech is less than three tefachim, if it's not touching them, then it's fine. But if the lech is more than three tefachim, that is not called a lechi, it's no good. The lechi is only seven tefachim in a mashu, it's okay, provided that it's less than three tefachim from the ground. Derech agav, this is a very, very common problem. Many times people make a tzuras ha-pesach. Make a tzuras ha-pesach, it must come down to the ground. You make a modern day Erev, and they have the two lechis, and they have the tzuras ha-pesach. The lechi, the post, must come down to the ground, or at least within three tefachim. It's not kosher if the lechi is more than three tefachim. Since they find a place, a perfect place, where there's some type of thing where it can rest on. But it's not touching the ground. It's no good. That's not called a lechi. Even though we're not dealing here with the laws of Tzuras HaPesach, but the principles are the same. The same way the lechi must here come down to the ground, the lechi, Yitzvah, must come all the way down to the ground. Okay, let's just start the next simon. We're just about out of time. Okay, so this will take some time to do. We'll stop here with Se'if Yud Aleph.